Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the CU-Lytics event, and to help me with that conversation, I have Lou Grilli, the Director of Payments and Strategy at Trellence. Lou, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to finally be, connect with you in person.
Excellent. So now, recently you attended the CU-Lytics conference in Seattle, and for those unfamiliar with it, can you tell us what this is?
Sure. This conference, a two-day conference set up to highlight real use cases of credit unions taking advantage of data analytics to solve a specific problem. And the format was 15-minute case studies over several over 2 days, with each one giving a problem statement, how data was used to solve the problem, and what the results were, lots of positive results. About 300 attendees, mostly credit unions, as I mentioned, as well as vendors that provide data analytics-related services to those credit unions. So very, very focused, smaller credit union than normal, but lots of data analytics insights.
Great. Now, so as you were there, now, what were some of the main themes and topics that really seemed to emerge from the event?
Two themes, as I was sitting there over the 2 days that I noted, really came to me. One was trust the data. And the other was start small, and that start small was especially echoed a few times. But first, trust the data. There was a study presented by Filene Research, and it was around loan decisioning, that a lot of times loan decisioning is based sometimes solely on FICO score, but they showed that using multiple factors in loan decisioning resulted in many more loans being approved, and more importantly, loans that would have been approved not being approved, and the results they got from their research was 1% increase in total loans, but more phenomenally was 15% less delinquencies. And the takeaway from that was using lots of factors is too much data for a human to use. It's not a place for gut feel, but that's a perfect place for data analytics. And then the other theme, start small, which, as I mentioned, heard echoed several times, credit unions are really encouraged to find one specific problem to solve, one place where data analytics could be applied, focus on that, and show real success so that you have a better chance of getting adopted throughout the organization, better management approval. And a good example of that was during the Big Data Analytics Challenge. One of the teams, there was a total of seven challengers there. One of the teams was from Safe Credit Union. They're based in California. And they presented their case study where they used data analytics to create a customized rewards program. The problem they were trying to attack was low card utilization rate. So they created a customized reward program and then offered it to the specific card holders that were in their target demographic. And they showed results of a 27% increase in the credit portfolio for that targeted slice of members. And by the way, that was the project that won, which is why it struck with me. But definitely, starting small seems to be the recipe for success in implementing data analytics in credit unions.
Excellent. Now, kind of backing up a little bit here in terms of some of the alternative metrics that are being used to provide some of these loans with, did there kind of seem to be a typical theme, or were, you know, kind of company, each individual company kind of looking at different metrics, you know, were some of them saying like, oh, we use social data versus this data or that data, or, you know, was there really kind of almost no common thread, or was there some common thread between some of those additional metrics they were using?
If anything, the common thread was that they were all using different sources of data. So getting data from their card processors, from their cores, from their own CRM, using external data, including FICO score and some demographic, psychographic data, and then combining that data into what's typically called a data pool, data pond, data pool, normalizing all that data into a way that can be used for reporting, decisioning, segmentation, and that's where it diverged, what that data was used for, and then the different results, you know, depended on what the project was that they were using that those different that same data differently for, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, certainly. Thank you for that. So now, what were some of the use cases for data analytics that stuck with you as, kind of being the most relevant?
So there's an expression that I have heard a couple of times now, and that is, if you're not using data to make decisions, then you're just another person with an opinion. And this was the place that really hit home for me to make that sentiment, show that sentiment in action. There was several credit unions that have incorporated data analytics to generate offers for credit line increase. A lot of members are still sitting out there with the credit line increase they got when they first applied for a credit card, say $1,000, $1,200, and then they stop using that card because they hit the credit line. And there's a lot of credit unions now that are using data analytics. First Tech, which is a very large credit union based in California but with branches throughout several states, did their case study, and they showed that using data analytics to increase credit lines resulted in, they granted $400 million in increased credit lines, and they saw a 16% increase in total spend for that segment that they increased. And while there are very large credit unions, I mentioned, so that absolute number, 400 million, may be bigger than some other credit unions, that 16% increase is in line with what we see when we do consulting with credit unions and work with things like credit line increase programs as well. Another case study that really struck out with me was a credit union, actually, I think there was two of them, that are starting to use or incorporate data analytics into their teller software for next best product recommendations. And to explain that best, so I walk into a branch, or I'm on the phone with my member care representative, and now using this next best product, they make an intelligent recommendation as to what is the next best product to offer me. So maybe they look in my profile, and of course this is all being done fairly real time while they're on the phone. I have with my credit union a car loan. I have a debit card, but they also see ACH payments going out to Chase or Citi. And so the next best product would be a rewards credit card with a great introductory rewards offer. Something like that is a good example of that. Several other use cases, but those two areas were the ones that really struck me as having the best return on investment, the best success rates.
Great. Now, I kind of wanted to get into this a little bit here. In terms of data analytics strategy and when it comes to credit unions, kind of what's your opinion on, are credit unions, is this something that they're just starting to think about? Is this something that a lot of credit unions already have implemented? Or are we kind of at, if you haven't already thought of it, you're already way too late to the game?
So what I was pleasantly surprised at was how many credit unions are already starting to take advantage of data analytics. And it's more surprising to me than that was, it's not just large credit unions. There was a lot of really small credit unions, just a couple of branches and a really small staff, already making use of data analytics in really, really clever ways. And it just struck me as, there are some credit unions that haven't started down the path. They're probably thinking about it, or maybe they have it in their strategy, but a lot of credit unions have already started with small projects because that's the recipe for success. And it struck me as, this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as what can be done using data analytics to improve business, to remain competitive, to be even more competitive. And it's definitely going in the right direction.
Right. Now, from the event, were there any other observations that really kind of stood out to you and kind of surprised you?
And I guess I was pleasantly surprised, as I just mentioned, at how many credit unions have already adopted data analytics for things like decisioning and things like that, but how little there was of for predictive analytics. So when you think of data analytics, the case studies, especially the ones that I saw at the conference, then measurable results, positive results, come from use cases where there's lots of data, too much data for a human to use, but the decisioning process can be made better with using more data. So loan decisioning, next best product, I remember. Member segmentation to customize rewards. These were all the case studies that had good success rates. All of these are kind of looking back or looking across existing data. What I didn't see any good examples of is predictive analytics, and that is using data to make predictions about unknown future events. So this would incorporate data mining, statistics, probability, machine learning, and it just surprised me that we're not there yet. This is where I think data analytics could be really powerful, could be the game changer, making credit unions far more competitive than even than big banks. Currently, data analytics, kind of the state of the art, is doing things today that are already being done, but doing them better, making better decisions or making better offers.
Okay, now I'm very curious to get your opinion on this. Now, as we know with machine learning, kind of it's the more data that you have, the more kind of connections that it can make in terms of that particular data. So I'm kind of wondering, from your opinion, do you think this is also a case where larger credit unions win out over smaller credit unions where they have more data available to them?
I think I'm going to say no to that. If anything, I think some larger credit unions, especially ones that have gone through mergers, are maybe at a disadvantage because they have so many more sources of data that they need to aggregate, bring together, wash that data, and create what's called a single source of truth. In other words, is there multiple records of Lou Grilli, one with Avenue spelt out, one with A of V, one with my middle initial, one with my full middle name, and they're not matching up, so when making the next best product offer, it's not looking at all of the products that I currently have, because one of them was on this bill pay system, which is not connected with the other systems. Smaller credit unions may have less disparate systems to grab data from, maybe less data sources, less legacy things to grab from, and also smaller credit unions, at least the ones that I saw, seem to be a little bit more nimble into as far as how fast they could move. Now, with that said, I also saw at least one model. A person named Paul Ablack is a head of On Approach, and his company is doing something. There might be others out there, but he's the one that I saw putting aggregating anonymized data from multiple credit unions, which then kind of wipes out that advantage of, well, big credit unions have more data to look across to possibly make better decisions. Yes, but what if you could aggregate data from multiple credit unions across multiple segments? Then you could make even better decisions than that, regardless of whether you're small or big. And so that's just one company that's aggregating data in a huge data lake in order to just to do that, to make data analytics that much more powerful and accurate.
The case study from Paul that you ended up seeing, did he notice that banks or credit unions in particular were really open and willing to share all their data with it? Because, I mean, in reality, if he's saying, okay, I take kind of all of these nodes, in this case, the credit union's data, and kind of compile it into one database and then redistribute that amongst everybody, would credit unions look at that as though, well, you're giving my data to potentially a competitor?
The unique thing about the credit union space, and for those of you who don't know, Trellance is a CUSO, a credit union service organization. Several of the vendors at this conference are also. So credit unions have ownership of CUSOs, and then the CUSOs in turn provide services for their member owner credit unions. So credit unions are okay with, in your words, giving up data. Now remember that this data is anonymized, so they're not providing, you know, personally identifiable information. But they're giving up, I wouldn't say they're giving up data, they are contributing data for the purpose of making all credit unions smarter, better, more competitive. I don't see bank data being added to this large data pool at any time. I just can't imagine that. But credit unions don't see other credit unions as their competitors. It's a space where collaboration is much more of the keyword.
Now, I know at the event, Mike Upton, who's the CTDO of First Tech FCU, he spoke about bankless banking, making a prediction that over the next 10 years, members will experience their credit union in completely new ways. Do you care to elaborate that on a little bit more?
Mike did a great opening keynote talk and kind of had us all pretty much, you know, set in our seats. Just a different way of thinking. So he gave this great example. If you ever, and this has happened to me, try to access my credit union's online banking, and I just happened to be up early Sunday morning, and the paper wasn't there yet. But when I went to log in, it said, "Sorry, we're down for maintenance. Try again later." Can you imagine, this is the example he gave, can you imagine you're trying to get an Uber, but you bring up the app and it says, oh, down for maintenance, try again later. Or you're going to purchase something from Amazon and you get, or you go to Google something and you get that message. That's just not conceivable, never mind unacceptable. And yet financial institutions pretty much generally do go down for maintenance. That is not thinking like a fintech. And that was just one example that he gave of how things are going to change. And he gave a little history of thinking like a fintech in that doing person-to-person payments, which is still a hot topic, Zelle and Venmo and PayPal, of course, dominating that space, that for a long time, the only way you could move money between two people, P2P payments, is either in person, give them cash, write a check, or go to the bank, write a check, drop it in the mail, or go to the bank, get a cashier's check, an official check, and then send it off to them, and then hope that they cash in, hope that it clears, et cetera. And banks owned that P2P space for literally hundreds of years, but they never asked customers, how would you like to do this? And then so some fintechs came along and said, how would you like to do this? Well, I'd like to do it on my phone. I want to send money to a phone number or to an email address. And boom, Venmo took off and became a wildly successful story in P2P. Banks are now starting to get it, starting to ask their customers, how do you want to do things? So that's why banks started up Zelle and kind of got together around one single brand, one single use case, instant transfer, all the benefits of P2P payments. Something that wasn't seen in banking in the early days, that now financial institutions in general, definitely credit unions in that same category, starting to ask their bank customers, their credit union members, what is it that you want? And then thinking like a fintech to provide those services. That was kind of the gist of, and I elaborated a little bit, but that was the gist of Mike's opening speech.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Lou, for taking the time today for speaking to us about CLytics, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Yep, it was fun. Great talking with you. Hope to be back soon as well. Take care, bye.